Hi, I'm Carol Sliwa, a senior writer with TechTarget Storage Sites. My guest today is Dave Vellante. Dave is chief analyst and co-founder of Wikibon, a community-focused research firm based in Marlborough, Massachusetts. Dave will be speaking with us about hyperscale storage. Dave, how do you define hyperscale storage, and what are the main use cases?
I just try to keep it simple. Hyper to me is excessive, and scale implies growth. So hyperscale is a system capable of growing from really small to very large in a very quick and efficient manner. As far as the main use cases, I think it's predominantly web and web serving, but increasingly it's a lot of database applications. In particular, ad serving is very popular. And anybody who's got a massive storage repository, like service provider storage, you also see high-performance computing practitioners, moving into that hyperscale space. There's a lot of analytics and big data use cases, and these are bleeding into traditional enterprises like financial services for fraud detection. And of course, there's always, government, like three-letter agencies doing big data types of work.
From a technical standpoint, in what ways does hyperscale storage differ from traditional enterprise data storage?
The differences really are both in the attributes and the technical characteristics of the system, but also the mindset of the buyer and the practitioner. So I guess the first I would cite is, the scale itself. We're talking petabytes versus terabytes. The hyperscale guys are typically serving millions or sometimes hundreds of millions of users with a single or a very small set of apps. And it's just the opposite in the enterprise. It's hundreds or thousands of apps to hundreds or thousands of users. I guess the other point is hyperscale storage and hyperscale in general tends to be stripped down. It's defrilled versus sort of beefed up and really purpose-built configurations. An example of that is, for instance, redundant power supplies. Oftentimes, the hyperscale guys don't even bother with a redundant power supply. They just wait until it breaks and throw it out. The other attribute of hyperscale is it's very much software-led. We hear a lot about software-defined these days, and the hyperscale guys really kind of invented that concept versus the traditional enterprise products. When you think about a storage product, software function is very much tied to the hardware. It's very much embedded in there. I'd also say that the hyperscale crowd is really focused on super high degrees of automation and sort of eliminating any human involvement, whereas the traditional enterprise is trying to make IT easier to manage, but largely by humans. So there's a mindset that's really different in the hyperscale world than in the traditional IT world. And it really is that the hyperscale folks will spend a lot of time and effort through engineering to try to save money, or in many cases make money, on, for instance, a specialized app. Whereas the enterprise guys will really spend money on packaged solutions that are going to save them time across the application portfolio and more of a general manager. So I'll give an example. Facebook might engineer a software-based solution that's going to allow it to, let's say, upload pictures really fast for that, one application. Whereas a traditional enterprise shop might buy an off-the-shelf storage system to meet the needs for many applications across the portfolio.
Which products or types of products qualify as hyperscale storage?
Products that scale out, and products that really are, again, very simple, commodity-based hardware that can fit into a rack, that can help sort of minimize the cost of sort of managing that rack over the life of that rack by essentially eliminating humans. So, for example, when a device in that rack dies, they'll switch it through software to another device and let the failed device die and eventually let the rack die and then eventually throw it in the wood chipper. The traditional IT guys are going to try to get as much return on that asset as possible. So they'll replace failed drives and power supplies, and they'll buy more sophisticated and expensive systems to meet those needs. So the types of products that fit into that model that I just mentioned are very much defrilled. A lot of times they're just hard drives, or you can think of it as, for instance, a Fusion I/O card. What really makes it hyperscale, again, is the software that is layered on top of it that can manage the entire operation, the entire infrastructure, as opposed to the situation where you're layering in component software. So, for example, storage tiering software as a component that's added on to an existing infrastructure as sort of a one-off component. So really, what really makes it hyperscale is that software-led mindset and approach.
How would you characterize the adoption level of hyperscale storage today versus what you expect it will be 5 years from now?
I would say that the adoption is concentrated today really among the web giants like Facebook and Google and Amazon and Microsoft and I think Apple to a certain extent. So the adoption is mixed. It's kind of lumpy in a way. But I think that there's a really good example if you look at Facebook's Open Compute Platform. It's a classic hyperscale example of a standard architecture, no frills, software-led, Seagate disk drives and, you know, off-the-shelf chips. And so I think that that's really what's driving the model today. They buy a lot, but it's up and down and very concentrated on a few web giants. But I think it's growing very fast and it's becoming sizable. It's really hitting critical mass. It's also very bifurcated. There are some hyperscale customers that will buy solutions, if you will, and others that won't. For example, Google will actually build its own flash drives and put power supplies in systems, for example. And there's no question that a lot of traditional IT buyers are looking at hyperscale trends. As I said, it's bleeding into the IT world, the traditional world, and really starting to adopt, especially in financial services and cloud service providers that want to compete, for example, with Amazon. So in my opinion, an organization like Facebook is a harbinger of the future, not an outlier. And I think in 5 years, you'll see many more classic hyperscale examples, not only in the web, but from traditional IT adopting hyperscale-like techniques. So my prediction is that traditional IT suppliers are going to begin to adopt techniques and begin selling software-only function that will run on defrilled commodity scale-out hardware. And, you know, eventually these two worlds will collide.
What sorts of lessons can the average IT shop take away from these users of hyperscale storage?
Well, I think the first thing that CIOs can really take away from hyperscale is that it turns out that IT actually does matter. So remember around the time when Nick Carr wrote his now famous book, Does IT Matter? Which, by the way, the premise of that book was IT can't deliver sustainable competitive advantage. Around that time, we saw huge value creation coming from technology companies that were users of technology like Google and Amazon and PayPal. And if you think about how Google is disrupting advertising and Amazon retail and PayPal financial services, these are technology consumers that are clearly using IT as a competitive weapon. And then following them were companies like Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, all technology practitioners that are using hyperscale techniques. So I think what CIOs can learn is that these techniques can dramatically drive costs down. We've seen situations where people are applying object stores in hyperscale, cutting costs relative to traditional storage by 75%. And I think that the point is that the next big wave is going to be data as competitive advantage. So that's really where CIOs want to put their resources. They don't want to spend a lot of money and a lot of time worrying about non-differentiated heavy lifting of infrastructure. Infrastructure in this new world from a value creation standpoint is going to be largely irrelevant. What's going to be relevant is the way in which, for example, you leverage data and use data as the source of competitive advantage and the way in which you monetize data. So increasingly, traditional IT organizations want to, in my view anyway, spend less time and money managing IT infrastructure and more time creating value around data.
Thanks, Dave. That concludes our podcast on hyperscale storage. We appreciate your listening.